So, just to be sure, are you okay with me recording this conversation? Okay. Then, would you be able to introduce yourself for me really fast? Actually, I'm going to say the date. Today is November 14th, and my name is Abigail Jacoby. And then, would you be able to introduce yourself?
I'm Paula Levine. I live in Omaha, now in Dundee.
Okay. And can you tell me what you do?
I'm an investigative reporter for ESPN.
Very nice. Okay. And so then we are going to be talking about the history of lead in Omaha and kind of the community response in relation to the Superfund site for my class, which is the history of environmental inequalities. So, can you tell me about the first time that you learned about lead in Omaha?
I did not know about it growing up, because I grew up by Gretna. So I did not know about it growing up. And I think it wasn't until I moved back here, which was in 2007. And we were looking at houses. And I have, I'm really on top of my health, one thing that I had been aware of was radon, which is another huge issue here. And I actually had thyroid cancer several years ago and whatnot. I don't know if there's a correlation, but just something that makes you aware. So when we were looking at buying houses and all the sort of disclosures and stuff that they have, one of the things that I was interested in was lead. And just because I knew it was a harmful substance, and that it's been detected in the environment. And so I was interested in what the lead levels were for where we were buying, and that and doing that research. And I think searching for that information through the city, through the EPA, is when I really learned about the whole Superfund thing and the history of the lead contamination, which is interesting because there was a very, I used to live in Tacoma, Washington, and there was a very similar, in fact, that actually probably also contributed to my desire to seek out this information. There was a site there, and very similar circumstance. The smelter plant spread contamination over the whole community, and people's yards were constantly being replaced. And like, as a journalist, I even wrote about this in Tacoma. And so just knowing that that sort of thing happened, I think really contributed to my desire to find out what was happening now in the community where I was planning to live, and what I needed to do to make sure that my exposure was minimal. And this was I think when I actually started, I was looking back at those emails, 2009 was sort of when we were thinking about having a child. And so I really wanted to make sure before I got pregnant and before we brought little people into the world, that we knew what the environment was and if we had to do anything to protect ourselves.
Okay, so you mentioned that email, which is how we actually found your name. So it was your 2009 email to Debbie King, where you actually talked about how you did find out that you had high blood lead levels yourself. Can you tell me about the process of finding that out and what your thoughts were?
I was, again, like, being on top of my health and wanting to know everything about my physical circumstances, went to I guess you'd call her a functional medicine doctor, and had like a bunch of blood tests done. Just wanted to make sure that I was in, the best circumstances that it could be for, getting pregnant. And it was through that whole process that I actually found out that I had thyroid cancer. Totally different aside, but which is fine. And I had surgery and I'm fine. So they did a bunch of blood work and tests that you wouldn't normally have just going in for a physical. And it was through that. And I don't think they were, I didn't go back to find their results. And I don't know where they would be. I don't know that they were necessarily outside of the reference range per se, but I knew that they were like at a level where I felt, okay, this is higher than I'm comfortable with. And And then just sort of wanted to do a little more research to find out, okay, you know, is there an exposure issue?
Okay. And did anything come from that email at all, that correspondence with Debbie King?
I was trying to find this. Oh, yeah, hold on. I think this is the... It didn't come from Debbie. This is the... Came after that.
Okay. And this was from who?
It's from someone else at the EPA.
At the EPA.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they basically just directed me to the, you know, standard report.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I appreciate that, right?
Right.
But just, you know, having reported on water contamination before and on these on issues like this before, like, I was aware that the water that they test at the facility isn't necessarily the same as the water that's coming out of your tap.
Right.
Because of all that's happening in the transport lines in between there. And I understand that, you know, anything that connects from, you know, where the city line connects to our line to our house, like, and anything in the house is my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I was curious about, like, if I wanted to have my actual water coming out of my tap tested, like, what could I do and what resources were out there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in our class, we're focusing on environmental injustices in our project. And would you agree that it's an environmental injustice, the problem of lead with certain groups?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's plenty of evidence out there that, especially, I mean, look, my neighborhood and this neighborhood are neighborhoods where people have a lot of information. We're pretty well educated. We're middle class, but I know just from my own, you know, just research that so many communities where there are lead issues, whether it's in the water, whether it's in the paint, whether it's in the soil, are communities where people are either renting, so they don't really have control over that.
Mm-hmm.
They're low income, you know, they're not, you know, they're not getting this education and this information. And even if they do, they can't afford private testing of their water. And so in that sense, yes, for me, you know, probably not, because like I had the resources, the means and everything to do this, but I think so much of this problem and so much of the pipes that need to be replaced, the lead pipes and so forth, are in these areas where you have people who are of lesser means and lesser ability to actually do anything to their property.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like they have access to the information, the resources, or the ability to fix that.
Mm-hmm. And how about any similarities or differences you've seen between the two places where you've lived that had a very similar lead issue?
I think because there were things actively happening in Tacoma, and you've been talking about like in Tacoma versus here, and
right,
I think because there were things actively happening in Tacoma and that the site, the remediation site, was like really visible, you couldn't miss it, and I think just because of the, there's a lot of environmental activism out in Washington State and Western Washington, clearly. I think people out there were far more informed about this. Like, it was an issue. It was an issue that was being discussed among city officials, county officials, like, routinely. Here, not as much. Like, I was aware of the place that had been in Dundee, the, I don't remember what it was called. In fact, I don't know if they're still there. But they helped with, like, lead issues. And then I think the only other area here, and this is a good area, and a good point, and I think this actually is something that does reach populations, or at least I hope it does, across the board, is the when, so my kids are now 11, you know, and even living here, still being in that zone, like every time we went to the pediatricians for a checkup, mm-hmm. you know, you enter your zip code and you qualify as having to get your kids' blood levels tested, mm-hmm. blood levels tested, you know, up until a certain age.
Right.
And so I think for a lot of people, that's maybe their only point of awareness. And that's a great point of awareness because that is hitting like the most vulnerable population. And I certainly mm-hmm. would hope that, you know, any child coming to a checkup anywhere is getting that testing and is getting that education. So that I would say is probably really the only place here that I've seen any sort of like what you would consider outreach per se, and mm-hmm. educating people about lead.
Okay. And how did that feel as a mother, you know, having two kids and living in an area that might have lead contamination?
I'm kind of a nut about this thing. So mm-hmm. like I maybe a little overboard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. I'd have to, you might want to fact check me on this, but like okay. when we bought this house, I remember you could go online. I can't remember if it was on the EPA site or if it was something through the city, and you could see what prior testing of your property was, right? And it would tell you if you qualified to have your yard replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I did that, this property was like just below the threshold. And from what I was told, and I cannot remember who, so that's a failing on my part, but from what I was told, what someone had said was that if the lead in the soil here was probably more likely from the paint on mm-hmm. the house. Although our house is brick, so there's not a lot of paint.
Okay.
But like around the windowsills and stuff like that, then mm-hmm. then it would have been from any sort of contamination from the air. But that aside, we had all of the window, you used to do the framing, all of
right.
that replaced up in the kids' bedrooms,
mm-hmm.
And then like most of the rooms repainted because I was really concerned about exposure from the lead interior, you know, mm-hmm. from the kids chewing on stuff and whatnot. And then I got a special water filter put on our system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's supposed to help, you know, eliminate impurities,
right.
lead and other things.
Okay.
So.
And you mentioned you have written about this issue as a reporter. How have you seen this carry over into your career?
Well, previously, so two times specifically, like when I was in, back when dinosaurs ruled the earth, Abby, when I was in college, I worked for the Houston Chronicle in the summer of 97, and there was a massive trial at that time, a federal trial, it was like Aaron Brockovich level. It was mm-hmm. if you Google it, it'll come up. It was this Kennedy Heights neighborhood in Houston, and some of the, you know, who attorneys who have since become the big environmental advocates were on this trial, and it was this actual issue. It wasn't lead.
Okay.
It was other chemicals in the soil, but it was like weeks of very in the weeds testimony on how mm-hmm. things get into your water, and like engineers talking about, like, I mean, I feel like I could have like built a water system after doing this because like it was so science heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote about that trial while I was in Houston, and then when I was in Tacoma, I covered the city, and like every now and then, I can't remember exactly what was going on with the plant, but every now and then I would write something about the lead smelter plant mm-hmm. issue, whatever. It was always like an issue that was coming up because they had to address it. So those were kind of the two. I mean, I actually have done some environmental stories for ESPN, but nothing along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what more do you think could be done in the Omaha community to educate people and raise awareness about this issue? Or what else do you think should be done?
About lead specifically?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be, I mean, well, being a member of the media, I think this is an issue that I think should be revisited. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still every now and then see somebody's yard getting stripped. And I won, like, I was one in this area here not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I think, well, that's interesting. Like, why now? You know, and
right.
where is this? And, you know, is this, how much of a problem is this? I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen anything on, like, the Flatwater Free Press did a big thing on water contamination with, like, nitrates. And, like, I see, you know, you see a lot of that stuff. And I do see a fair amount of reporting on, you know, water quality in other ways. But specific to lead, and whether it's through the water or through the paint or whatever, like, I haven't, or the soil, I really haven't seen anything recently. And it's, I would like to know. And I'd like to know what the blood testing levels are. I mean, I'm assuming that pediatricians report that to somebody somewhere, mm-hmm. somehow. I know that there was that group that had their offices there on Underwood, but I don't, and I saw, like, every now and then, like, they would put out flyers and so forth, but it was really, like, you had to seek that information out.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, in terms of, like, I just told you all the stuff that we did with the yard and with the windows and whatnot, like, it would be nice if there was some requirements for landlords, because, mm-hmm. like I said, a lot of these families who have these exposure issues are renting.
Right.
It would be nice if there was some requirement for landlords, much like they have to have, you know, smoke detectors and stuff, that they have to at least provide some disclosure information to residents if they mm-hmm. have, you know, if there's lead in the home. Because you have to do that, I think, when you're buying and selling. And then also if there would be some assistance for families, you know, based on their income, to take measures to find out, okay, you know, is there an issue in my particular mm-hmm. house? And if there is, you know, what resources do I have to, you know, protect my family, or, you know, or what resources does my landlord have to make some changes that would, you know, protect anyone who lives there?
Right. Okay, so as I mentioned, our project is focusing on the community response in relation to lead in Omaha and the Superfund site. Do you think there is anybody else that we should reach out to interview potentially about this?
I think the pediatricians would be a great place to go. I mean, mm-hmm. they're the ones who see this, you mm-hmm. know, and especially the ones who are closer to that site and
right.
who are in, you know, in that area. I think they would be a fantastic resource,
mm-hmm.
and they would know so much about this.
Right.
And then I think for the, you know, for the sake of you know, balance, and because, you know, I mentioned the landlords thing, like, I wonder if there aren't some of the larger landowners or property owners there who might not take too kindly to that and might want to put the onus on somebody else.
Right.
But, you know, they're a factor in this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is there anything else that you think we should know about your story with lead or about the Omaha community?
Not that I can think of. I think this is a really interesting issue. I'm glad you're doing mm-hmm. something on it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I mean, I've seen, you know, I've seen the reporting on a lot of the runoff contamination issues, and I'm really interested in the radon thing, obviously,
mm-hmm.
my personal connection, but I really have not seen much lately on lead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so much evidence about it, as you know, I mean, how it affects
right.
children and so.
All right. Well, those are all my questions. Thank you very much, Paula. I appreciate your time.
Sure.
Okay.